This Welcome is Contractor Sense with Ruth King.
Here you discover ideas, tactics, news, and information that matters to your contracting business and you. I'm your host, Ruth King. This episode is sponsored by HVAC TrustBooks. Go to HVACTrustBooks.com to discover how this tool can help you close more sales. Thank you for joining us. Here's how we will help your business and you today. Do you have a bookkeeper and yet your books are a mess? Not good. Your bookkeeper may be embezzling from you, or you don't have a competent bookkeeper. Hopefully, it's the latter. In this first segment, discover the one simple thing that you can do to help prevent embezzlement. Then, in the second segment, you'll hear the second part of my interview with Bill Drentry, how to be the boss that everybody wants to work for. So let's get started. Recently, I got an email from a colleague in Naples, Florida, where he sent me an article from their local newspaper that said that a woman had been arrested for embezzling more than $140,000. And she'd been a bookkeeper there for 4 years. And guess what? The owner wasn't paying attention. He, for all intents and purposes, abdicated the responsibility for the financial side of his business. My guess is he said, oh, goody, I've got a bookkeeper. I don't have to worry about this anymore. And he never put some simple things in place that would have absolutely prevented this from happening. And we're going to talk about some of those. And, you know, literally after working with businesses for more than 30 years, I can almost smell when the books are not right. And unfortunately, sometimes it's a bookkeeper stealing and sometimes it's field employees who are stealing. Either way, it's a sickening feeling. And I absolutely hate telling owners someone is embezzling and here's the proof. Unfortunately, all of them leave telltale signs. And sadly, most of them could have been caught quickly, or the bookkeepers would never try to embezzle and would leave your company very quickly. Owners just have to do a couple of simple things and one major simple thing, having their bank statements sent to their homes. So if you're not getting your bank statements at home, stop listening to this podcast after it's over and call your bank. Have your bank statement sent home. The owner of that company where the woman embezzled $140,000 admitted that he never looked at the checkbook until she left. And then he started seeing the checks that she actually wrote to herself. So she was writing checks to herself, knowing that he never looked at the books, never looked at the bank statement, and he never asked questions or, you know, what is this? You know, that type of thing. And so she felt totally safe doing it. And, you know, $140,000 4 years later, it's done. If he had just sent his bank statements home and looked at it, yes, not only sending them home, it's looking at them too, he would have seen that she was writing checks to herself. And he could have come in that very first time and said, what is this? Explain this to me. And she probably would have quit at that point, said, I'll pay it back. And he would have fired her, hopefully. And it wouldn't have been a $140,000 loss. So it's very simple. Just get your bank statement sent home. Here's other reasons why. You know, all you have to do is look at them. The microfiches that you get, those little pictures of your bank statements, show who the checks were written to and the numerical sequences. And if something doesn't make sense, then start asking questions. It's your first line of defense. And so it's not only your employees who can be stealing from you. We've actually caught vendors changing the amount on checks before depositing them. So here's a story. I started talking about this in a seminar series a couple of years ago. And I always say, send your bank statements home as one of the things that they have to do as a result of taking this class. It just protects them, protects you. So I got a phone call from him a couple of weeks later, and he goes, you're not going to believe this. And I'm going, yeah, I probably will. I've seen a lot. I've heard a lot. And he said, I got my bank statement at home, and I had written a check to our auto repair company for, I think it was $47 or $49. And when I went through all the checks, the check came back $549. And I thought, you know, this was really strange. This is really, I don't think this is right. So the next morning he goes into his bookkeeper. He says, you know, pull the backup for this check to XYZ Auto Repair. And sure enough, the check was written, the backup was written, the invoice was written for $49. And yet the check, the amount of money that was taken out of his bank account was $549. So the vendor's employee was stealing. It wasn't his employee, it was his vendor's employee. So he marched down to the bank, got his $500 back, and the bank went after, you know, that particular company. So it doesn't have to be your vendors. It could be it doesn't have to be your employees. It could be your vendors. Just pay attention. It's not, you know, it's crazy, but, you know, if bookkeepers who are supposedly knowing what they're supposed to be doing, and you're watching the checkbook, and you're watching the amounts on the checks, and you're making sure that you know who the vendors are, i.e. you're not seeing ABC and ABC Inc. and ABC Corp. and ABC Company. There's only one vendor with ABC. Then you've got a little bit, you know, I wouldn't breathe a total sigh of relief, but you've got a better shot at keeping the honest people honest. All right, let's go back. Let's assume that you have a bookkeeper who supposedly knows what he or she is doing and your books are a mess. And the first question you have to ask is why. The bookkeeper should know what he or she is doing, and the books should be clean. They should be readable. If they're a mess, then you may have an embezzler. Because by keeping the books a mess, an embezzler can easily hide his or her actions. You won't follow what's going on in your business, so you probably won't catch the embezzlement. The other thing that's really interesting is if you decide to get somebody to look at your books, somebody like me, and look at the financial procedures and your financial statements, then don't be surprised when the embezzler strongly objects to an outsider reviewing the books. Tough. That should be your first clue that either they are incompetent or they're hiding something. When the outsider does come in, bookkeeper quits, usually with a flimsy excuse. This happens a lot at the same time. So many owners, like that one owner who had the embezzler for $140,000, once they have their bookkeeper, totally abdicate the responsibility for the financial side of their business. As long as there's enough cash, they think they're okay, but many times they are not. Remember that you can delegate the day-to-day responsibility for bookkeeping activities. You cannot abdicate the responsibility for reviewing the statements each month. And if you usually take the time, less than 30 minutes a month, to review your financial statements, you'll know if something doesn't look quite right. So start digging and question the entries. Make sure you send your bank statement home. It's the quickest and the fastest and the first line in the defense to make sure that you help.
I've seen my clients' salespeople struggle when a customer asks why they should use your company rather than your competition.
Really does
when your price is higher and he or she is doing the same equipment.
Send me an email and I'd be happy to send you the test.
I've seen technicians struggle when customers ask whether they should replace an 18-year-old air conditioner.
So email me at ruthking@hvacgeneral.tv.
And most salespeople and technicians never ask,
and I'd be happy to send you the customers are concerned about.
Hopefully, yet never ask.
You have a bookkeeper who knows what he or she is doing.
I found a tool that gives your salespeople and technicians the ammunition.
When we get back,
we'll have the second part of my conversation.
And the tool works
with Bill Gentry.
How do I know? 68% of my clients are using it to increase sales and referrals.
What is it?
A trust book
with your name on it as the author.
When we get right back,
more details are at hvactrustbooks.com.
You'll have the second part of my conversation.
There is only one contractor per area that can get these
and finding
great
out how to be
some
the
areas
boss
are
that
already
wants
taken.
To work for.
They've gone to my clients.
We'll be right back.
If you want
thanks
your area and
to
want to have a tool for your salespeople and technicians to increase referrals and sales, then go to hvactrustbooks.com now and reserve your area. I've seen my clients' salespeople struggle when a customer asks why they should use your company rather than the competition when your price is higher and you both are proposing the same equipment. I've seen technicians struggle when customers ask them whether they should replace an 18-year-old air conditioner. And most salespeople and technicians never ask the one question that most customers are concerned about, yet never ask. Can I trust you? I found a tool that gives your salespeople and technicians the ammunition to answer this question and more. And the tool works. How do I know? 68% of my clients are using it to increase sales and referrals. What is it? A trust book with your name on it as the author. More details are at hvactrustbooks.com. Warning, there is only one contractor per area that can get these great books. Some areas are already taken. They've gone to my clients. If you want your area and want to have a tool for your salespeople and technicians to increase referrals and sales, then go to hvactrustbooks.com now and reserve your area.
We are back. Thanks for watching Profitability. I'm talking with Bill Gentry, the author of Be the Boss Everyone Wants to Work For, the great book for first-time managers. So, Bill, we talked about flipping their skill set, flipping their mindset. Now we got to say flip their relationships. Now, where do we go with flip their relationships?
That's right. So many of us, as we get promoted into leadership, we were peers with people. We were friends with people. So we're friends with them and peers with them on Friday, and then you become their boss on Monday. So a lot of them, and you know, I have friends where I work with, you have friends where you've worked with, all of us have friends where they're, you know, 8-10 hours a day. We have to make friends in order to survive, you know, in organizations a lot. And so how can you go from being a peer or being part of the team to now leading that team, especially with people who your kids might go to school together, your kids might play on the same sports team. You might have them over for a barbecue this past weekend or whatever. You have a long-term relationship, and now you have to be their boss. So how do you flip that script and go, again, it's not about me anymore, and thinking about how can I build this team that I have and not give preferential treatment and not give all those things that some people might think I might be doing just because they're my friends?
All right, so how do we deal with that? I mean, you're right. Our kids might be on the same soccer team or softball team or football team. How do we deal with that? How do we make sure that, you know, we're not being giving them preferential treatment because our kids are playing together, where somebody else we might be managing doesn't have kids? How does that work?
Yeah, it's on the new leader. If you're promoted into leadership and you're the new leader, you have to take that step and make that conversation happen. You can't just wait for things to come to you. So you have to, as I recommend, you have to be very clear now with your friend, with your peers, with everybody that is now on your team, both individually and in that group setting or team setting. Here's the boundaries. Here's some things that I have to do as a leader now. And if I'm talking with you and we've had a friendship for years, I might have to tell you, hey, you know what? We might not be able to go out to lunch every day anymore. And because I have to treat you just as importantly as I treat everybody else on the team. So being very clear about it, being fair about certain things too. You know, one of the sayings I have is an old saying by several sports coaches: you don't have to treat everybody equally, but you got to treat people fairly. Mm-hmm. And you know, as I tell people, if your friend is the highest, most productive person out there, of course it's fine to give that person a little bit more raise or more bonus or more recognition than others who don't. But if they aren't pulling their weight and you still give them those sorts of things, that's when people start to question things and talk behind your back. So it's being very clear and being fair and being aware that your friendship, the way it is, might have to end, and being, you know, coming to terms with that and talking with the other person to make sure that you can go forward in whatever relationship you're going to have.
Right. And you also have to talk to your kids too.
That's right. And just being aware of everything that's happening. And as I tell people as well, how can I stop being part of the team to now leading that team and setting that direction and letting people know what their roles are and motivating them to do what they need to be doing? That's an important part of flipping their relationships.
Absolutely. All right. Now, I love this one because we all have this do it all. I mean, when we were the I, everything was on us. Now we have to go into the right. Us and the we and the you.
Yeah, so flipping your do-it-all attitude is the fourth part of your script that I talk about that you have to flip. And just like you said, we are known for doing everything ourselves. And when we step up into leadership, we have to start delegating better. Well, first of all, we just might have to start delegating. And then we have to start delegating better and letting people understand that delegating isn't a bad thing. And it can actually help you do the work that you need to do as a leader in your new role. And it can help kind of spread the responsibility around and help people get better at something they need to get better mm-hmm. at. And then the other part of flipping your dual attitude is about how do you coach and mentor and develop others? Because that's a big, huge, important role that you have to adopt and adapt and be good at when you step up into leadership.
Well, think about it from a sales perspective. You might have had this phenomenal sales experience, exactly. Which is the reason you got into leadership. Your team now has to do your sales.
That's right. You can't do your sales alone. In fact, one of the big behaviors of leaders that derail is what we call a too narrow functional orientation. When I've done my research, there's about 5 different behaviors. They can go from difficulty leading a team, problems with the relationships, failure to meet business objectives, difficulty changing. But the one that always sticks out is what we call a too narrow functional orientation. It's that salesperson who is so good at being sales that they step into leadership, and that's their kind of functional orientation, sales. And when they step up into leadership, they can't get out of the sales role and start leading other salespeople.
That's hard.
It is very hard because it's It's what who we are identified as, and it's what made us successful and subject matter experts and brought us recognition. It's hard to get out of that, but when we step up into leadership, it's something that we have to do, is to stop being that technical expert and start leading those other technical experts.
Yeah, that is probably, I would think, one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
All right, now flip your perspective. What are we doing here?
Yeah, your perspective is all about politics. And as I tell people, if we think about the word politics, if you split it up into its syllables, it really tells you what it is. Poly means many, and tics is a bunch of blood-sucking insects. So that's what many people think politics is in organizations. I'm not talking about the stuff that's happening out there in government, but I'm talking about organizational politics. Right. It's what many people see as bullying or as self-serving interests, or it's an I win, you lose mentality. What I tell people is they need to flip their script in terms of their perspective. Politics isn't positive or negative. It's just that it's the air that we breathe in organizations. So how can we become politically savvy enough to know what I want, to know what you want, and to make sure that we can come to an understanding that if my kind of things that I need are much different than yours, where can we build those differences into something that we can both win at together?
Yep, and that's important.
Yep. Very important. So I talk about the importance of being politically savvy, the importance of managing up. How can we, as I tell people, managing up sounds just doesn't really play well with some people. So it's how can we help our more senior colleagues? That's a much better way to think about it. And then how do we manage across different silos or different boundaries or span those boundaries that are very important to get your work and your team's work done?
Absolutely. All right, flip your focus, the last but not least.
The last is what I tell people is probably the hardest one. It was the hardest part for me to write about, but it's probably the one that's going to bring you the best benefit, especially if you do it right. If you do it wrong, as you'll see and read, it will bring you some terrible things. So it's all about leading with your character and integrity intact. I've done some research on the importance of character and the importance of integrity in leaders, showing that integrity is one of the most important character strengths of leaders at the very tops of organizations, those presidents and chief executive officers. But the further you go down in the organization, integrity has nothing to do with people's current performance. And if we're promoting people based on their current performance and integrity has nothing to do with their current performance, no wonder why we're getting Enrons and WorldComs and Volkswagens and Wells Fargo and Ken Lay and Bernie Madoff and Lance Armstrong and all these people who make it on the Wall Street Journal for the wrong reasons. And so if you want to aspire to the top, make sure that you have your character and integrity intact now. So granted, it might not matter much in your role right now, but it's going to be part of your reputation wherever you go. It takes a lifetime to build and a second to totally destruct your career. And if you want to continue to progress and ascend in organizations, that's going to be part of who you are. So you really need to develop it, hold on to it, and cultivate it wherever you are.
And saying no sometimes is really, really, really hard. But if you got the integrity and the character, saying no sometimes, you got to do it whether you like it or not.
Yes, and as I tell people, it's okay to say no. Yes, you can say no. But whenever you have to say no, it's not just no and that's it. Try to come up with other ways to help that person out so that you're saying no, but giving them other options so that they can do their job better.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit. You used to be at the Center for Leadership, whatever it was. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it.
Leadership, yeah.
So where are you now? I mean, the book is out. You're training on leadership. So what's going on?
Yeah, so just a few weeks ago, I had this wonderful opportunity, and I just couldn't pass it up. It was one of those, if you pass it up, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. And I loved the Center for Creative Leadership. It was there over 11 years. But Brené Brown, who's written several New York Times bestsellers, Rising Strong, Daring Greatly, The Gifts of Imperfection. If you look up Brené Brown and her TED Talks on vulnerability, it's probably one of the five most seen TED Talks out there. She's a researcher, PhD in social work from University of Houston is where she's at right now. She wanted to help bring her work and her intellectual property and her research to life. And she wants to do it to help people in their personal life, but to also help people in organizations. So I became executive director of Brave Leaders, Inc., which is bringing her work to life in those organizations so we can help build more brave and courageous leaders at all levels of the organization.
Very good. All right. And so where do we get Be the Boss Everybody Wants to Work For?
Yeah, so you can can find it on Amazon. So you can always find it there. If you go to the Center for Creative Leadership, it's also available there as well. My publisher is Barrett Kohler. You can find it with them as well. So pretty much every single place you can think about, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books, you can go to Center for Creative Leadership. You can go to Barrett Kohler. You can find it there as well. You can also look at my website, WilliamGentryLeads.com.
Very good. So in our closing minute or so, what would you say the most important thing for first-time leaders is, managers is?
Yeah, flipping your script. You know, the more that you can, the more that you can think about others, the less that you can think about yourself. The more of the spotlight you can shine on others, and the more that you can tell people, look, this is your role, this is your responsibility, this is why you're important, this is why you matter. And it's not just mattering to me; it's how your role fits within the team and the mission of the organization, and how your job, without you, we can't impact the world in a more positive place. If you're able to do that, you're going to be much better off as a leader, focusing less on yourself and more on the people that you lead and serve.
Very good. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. Be the boss that everybody wants to work for. It's available on Amazon or any place you can find a book. Get it for all of your first-time managers, and don't wait 12 years to give them their first training. They will usually fail by then.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Bill. You have a great day, and we'll be right back with your business tip of the day. Here is your business tip of the day. Have a contest in the slowest month of your year. Now, most employees enjoy a challenge. They like knowing where the company is going, what the goal is, and how they fit in. One way to get employees focused on a common goal is to have a contest. February was the worst month with respect to sales and profits for one of the companies that I worked with. We decided to do something about it. So what did we do? We held a contest. The company owner told his employees that if the company reached a certain revenue level, far higher than they've ever reached in that slow month of February, that he would take everyone and their spouses out for a steak dinner and pay for the babysitters. Did they reach the goal? Yes. Everyone enjoyed their steak dinners in the evening out. So if you were thinking that they dramatically dropped their prices to generate the revenue, they didn't. They talked to customers, potential customers, and went through the customer file. Everyone came up with ideas and leads for increasing sales, even if they weren't the salespeople. The steak dinner was fun for the employees, the company, and the bottom line. For a tip of the day that you'd like to share, or just a question, call me at 770-729-8000. Email is rking@profitabilityrevolution.com. Twitter is @RuthKing. LinkedIn is RuthKing1. And Facebook is Profitability Revolution Paradigm. If you like today's program, spread the word. Help a fellow small business owner make more money too. Thank you for joining us. Choose one thing that you discovered and implement it in your business. These ideas, tactics, and strategies help you make more money, have more free time, and give back. I will see you tomorrow. Have a great and profitable day.